Today we are talking about K-Diversity Intelligence 3.0. My name is Hyungjun Choi. I'm working for Samsung and I'm leading K-Diversity Intelligence 3.0.
And my name is Karol Lewandowski. I also work on K-Diversity in Samsung R&D in Poland.
This is our agenda. I will explain in our previous parts. After me, Mr. Kao will explain later parts. First one is a D-Burst. D-Burst is a message burst system, and it's a system for IPC. So lots of open source in KDBurst use D-Burst. And then it provides three types of message. First one is a message call transaction. This one is a send and reply. And another one is a signal. It's just a send. No, there is no reply. Last one is a broadcasting. It's very similar in our signals. If you use this signal, you can send message to other applications. And D-Burst provide polish too, so you can allow or deny connection. If you configure your polish file. And then last one is activation. This one is a lazy activation. Let's suppose application one wanted to send some message to application two. However, application two is not running now. In that case, D-Burst daemon launch application two. After that, send the message to application two. And then architecturally, D-Burst has three layers. First one is D-Burst library, such as libd-burst 1. If you include this library in your program, you can exchange messages to other applications. Second one is D-Burst daemon. You can see there in there. D-Burst daemon provide two types. Daemon. First one is their system daemon. Another one is their per user login system daemon. So it can route a message to their other applications. And it also provides activation too. Last one is their wrapper library and language bindings. So such as D-Burst Drip and something like that. So if you use, it can help simplify your D-Burst program. So, light side of the picture explain how D-Burst works. First, application one and application two should include D-Burst library for exchange some messages. And we need D-Burst daemon per send message. So application one call app2 method, and then D-Burst daemon receive their message, and D-Burst daemon check polish. If everyone has some light to access application two, if there is no problem, D-Burst daemon send message to application two. This one is K-D-Burst. K-D-Burst is a low-level native kernel D-Burst transport. So all communication building process takes place in a kernel side, not a user side. So it uses some special character device nodes, DV K-D-Burst. So it working like a device driver. So it nowadays it provides two types of message passing. First one is using receiver buffers. So if we use this one, let's suppose application one send some message to application two by this one. So application one's process can copy, directly copy its data to application two's buffer as a single copy. Another one is our MEMFD. So it's our special file descriptor for memory region. So it can contain some data. So if you use this MEMFD, you can pass a file descriptor from application A to application two. It's gel copy. The reason why nowadays KDBR support these two types, because their message size is smaller than 512 kilo. In that case, nowadays KDBR use receiver buffer. However, if message size is bigger than 512 kilobyte, in that case, KDBR nowadays use MIMFD because using zero copy is more faster than receiver buffer. So this is the right hand size how KDBR works. First, you have to include KDBR in the kernel size, and then you use KDBR API for using KDBR. So now it's time to compare DBR and KDBR. DBR versus KDBR. DBR is inefficient. Recipes application one wanted to send some message to application two by message call. In that case, we need 10 copies for complete validations and per context switches, because we have to send message first to from application one to DBR daemon to application two and reply. DBR application two reply DBR daemon, and DBR daemon reply to application one. So we need 10 copies per complete validations and per context switches. However, KDBR is more efficient because two or fewer copies is enough, because two copies enough, just a copy from application one to application two and reply. Or if we use zero copy, maybe fewer copies. And so if I use KDBR, or fewer copies and two validations and two context switches enough to send message by method call. And DBR is suitable only for control, not payload. So, however, KDBR is suitable for large data, as because of it provides zero copy, so you can send a large multimedia data or something like that by KDBR. So this is like explain why we are develop KDBR in Taizen. Because we need more efficient IPC system in Taizen, because we wanted to send some message, more bigger size message. So we try to develop KDBR in Taizen 3.0. And however, we don't want to reuse all of the open source which are using DBR API. So we wanted to use a DBR API, but we want more faster IPC mechanism. So that's the reason why we are develop KDBR in Taizen 3.0. So after making a prototype, we test this, how legacy DBR is faster than KDBR. So we test this at various sizes. The result was usually KDBR faster than faster than legacy DBR around 30%. This is our test result. So this is our first. This one is a legacy DBR in Taizen. So I already explained to you how DBR works, but in this slide, you can see the SMAC in kernel size. So last one, another one is the same, but DBR daemon check again SMAC blue in kernel size. Carol, do you have any comments?
So I would like to elaborate on the slide. So we can see, Hyunjun previously explained how DBR works without SMAC. What is different in this one is that there is also SMAC, and SMAC is mandatory access control in kernel. There are two policies. One policy is SMAC, and this is definitive policy. This is mandatory, Tizen is mandatory access control system. So the defining policy is in the kernel. But DBus Daemon has its own policy, and this policy is quite complex. It is XML file, and it works in addition to the policy that is in kernel. When application wants to call another, there is always SMAC check, because SMAC works on file system objects, and application and DBus work on sockets. But there is also implicit SMAC check made explicitly by DBus Daemon, because applications do not communicate directly. This is simplified version. I know it is a bit more complex, but we can see that with DBus, there is another policy daemon in user space that is specific to the transport. It is specific to DBus, and this is not something that is generic policy daemon like Tomasz and Mr. Casey explained yesterday. So,
thank you. So this is our first prototype, KDBus in Tizen. So for this, we add KDBus transport layer into the DBus library, such as libdbus1 and juip, and we add KDBus transport layer into the DBus daemon 2, because we wanted to reuse activation occurred, and we wanted to create a KDBus burst by DBus daemon. So we add KDBus transport layer, the libraries, libdbus1, juip, and DBus daemon. So, and then we need KDBus into the kernel. So I explain how it works. First, we need the KDBus burst. So DBus daemon create KDBus burst. After that, application one call app to methods. That message is should be pass this to KDBus, and then KDBus deliver everyone's request to application two. You can see there is no police and there is no SMAC because this one is our first prototype. So at in that times we cannot care about SMAC and police.
Let me add something. We can see that in the case of KDBus, DBus daemon is not really entity that is transporting the messages. So the policy check-in in DBus is still there, but it is simply not used. The messages are routed through KDBus, so this is one major problem. SMAC is totally avoided, so to say, because KDBus is totally new transport mechanism, and SMAC is not aware of it, so to say. And the other thing that is not visible on the slide, that was a big problem with this scheme, is that KDBus is developed by Upstream, by Leonard Pottering, Kai Sievers, Daniel Mack, mostly. And our DBus daemon is our own modification, and those are very closely tied together. And KDBus changes often. There are many changes, and it is really hard to keep up with the changes. So this is second big problem.
Okay. And then this slide shows that which one we modified for first our prototype. And then this slide explains why we modify just why we add KDBus transport into just two library, libdbus1 and juip, because Tizen provide limited number of DBus binding libraries, so it's enough to add KDBus transport these two libraries. So currently only libdbus1 and juip needed to be ported to KDBus. So Carol, explain.
So let me walk you through how we want it to look like in KDBus 3.0. And we want to use KDBus and systemd to manage the bus from upstream. As I said, those are really tied together, and those are developed and maintained by upstream. So we want just to reuse that. We actually did deprecate our dbus daemon solution, and we are using systemd to create the bus, to do activation, to do all of the different things. It also manages system bus and session bus, or user in new versions. We also using bus driver D, which is a compatibility daemon with dbus 1 protocol. And our additions to make this work in Tizen are twofold. One are the binding libraries. This is similar to what we did before. We do have added KDBus transport to libdbus and glib. And the other thing is policy, the part that was skipped in first version. We actually want SMAC or Linux security subsystem to be aware of KDBus. So we want SMAC to be able to do policy checking, because we believe the policy should be in one place and it should be in kernel, more or less. So in this case, we have actually one more component. It's systemd, what we have modified, but systemd brings other things. So systemd. As I said, systemd does everything for us. It is the KDBus and systemd are developed by the same guys. They do 90% of their work. So we want to reuse that. We try to fix bugs when we find them, but we want to reuse their work because it is upstream and they do keep up systemd and KDBus compatible. So we want to use that one. What is also good about systemd is that it handles many different things. It actually allows one to switch from dbus to KDBus at boot time. This is just done. This is supported by systemd itself, so this is very good for us. What is also provided by systemd is the proxy daemon, which allows legacy applications, those that were not modified to use KDBus natively, to connect through daemon. This daemon looks like dbus daemon, but it routes the messages to KDBus. We do not want to use that in the production, because we want to get rid of the all middlemen, all of the daemons between messages, between applications, to make communication faster and also to make SMAC work correctly in this scheme. There is also DriverD, which provides org prefix of dbus, which is needed to have dbus 1 compatibility. This is something what we did, what I am personally very proud about. This is glib bindings, which are very feature complete. We are doing this on Bugzilla, on gnome.org. We work very closely with upstream, that closely that Ryan Lorty, who is glib release manager, agreed to include this version in the next development version of glib. And the work is ongoing, but more on that on last slide. We do have a libdbus port, but this was done at the time when we did dbus daemon modifications. So it is not really up to date to current systemd version. We are working to make it compatible, but it is not in the shape to send to upstream, not at all. We are working to convert this library to work on wire format that was introduced by recent systemd version. And it still requires a lot of work to work correctly. And the security policy, that thing that was missing from first attempt, completely missing. So we want to fix that. And the way we want to handle that is to actually simplify it a bit. We do not think that it is really smart to have policy daemon that is specific to the transport, like the bus or to any other thing. So we would like to reuse all of the policy checking that is and policy database that is already in the kernel. And we have noticed while doing this project that more and more services are going away from policy checking, explicit policy checking to policy checking, implicit policy checking to policy checking in daemons, through daemons like PolicyKit or Archtikos. So DBus daemon provided scheme that was very complex, very featureful, but it seems it is not really needed in our case. It seems that what KDBus provides and what it provides is simple. Can this process talk to this process? Is it allowed or not? It's enough. So we want to use that. And for this to happen, we had to modify Linux, actually to extend Linux kernel security subsystem with simple hooks, as simple that I was able to do that. And this is also upstream. There is discussion ongoing with SMAG and Linux communities. And so far, it is working very well. So summary, what we want to do to make this happen. We have to upgrade System D, but we do have to do this anyway, because we cannot afford to use old version, because upgrading System D, which means upgrading quite a lot of software, very rarely is fairly time consuming. It is better to upgrade from one version to another than just to do one big upgrade after 1 year. So we want new System D and just enable KDBus support via configure time switch. We have to introduce KDBus kernel module, and this is standalone. This is out of three module. We can easily compile it to any kernel. We do need to patch glib, libdbus, and the most complex thing is the security hooks, because we have to actually patch the kernel, and this is not really liked by other guys. This is a bit invasive. What we want for this feature is to be enabled at build time. And we actually do have all the patches on the KDBus integration branches on Tizen.org. And what are the challenges? And the biggest one is that KDBus is still under development. And by that, I mean that there are still incompatible changes, a lot of them. And KDBus is split into pieces. And this is very good, because it would be way harder to integrate something as KDBus to kernel. And one good example is memfd, which was originally part of KDBus. It originates from KDBus, but recently David Herman posted, I think it was second version of memfd functionality to the kernel, and it is on its way into the kernel. There was no big opposition to it. But there are some other changes. I will talk about them later. And we have to aware that at the time when KDBus will be in the kernel, it can be completely different thing from what we see now. What we are doing is, as I said, deprecating DBus daemon. So if anybody is interested in a systemd-free KDBus system, they could use our DBus daemon, KDBus enabled DBus daemon. We do not really we probably won't have time to maintain it, so it's up for adoption. The libdbus port requires a lot of work. It is not ready. We are working on it, but it is quite complex, and it is a long way to go. So are the KDBus patches. We cannot really integrate them into kernel nor into KDBus because we cannot integrate them into kernel because the KDBus LSM patches require knowledge of KDBus internal structures, and that would require integrating KDBus first. So this has to be done at the same time. And the biggest question is how to actually test the system with KDBus enabled, because we actually do run it on Tizen IVI profile and it boots to Wayland, but it is not the testing that I would say it is really final or defining. And what is happening beyond Tizen, that will not be supported by Tizen 3.0. There are some quite big changes, and the big change is that Upstream decided to drop DBus 1 compatibility daemon. They have decided that every binding library has to be explicitly modified to use KDBus. They say something like this, just make your toolkit user be able to choose from new bus types, and this is user and machine bus types, where KDBus might be available, but it might not be. And the difference is that there is no org free desktop DBus daemon there. You cannot expect it to be there. So this change, this one change, may KDBus from being transparent addition, this requires every application to explicitly ask for KDBus. So this is in opposition to what we wanted to do in KDBus. We wanted applications to use KDBus transparently, to be faster, without any changes, and this is completely different. But we are working on this with Upstream. We are doing prototype in glib, but this requires changing the API. And I think it will result in DBus version 2 protocol because it is simply not compatible with DBus anymore, what they want to do, but we'll see. So this is all from our side. There are some links. All the code is there. Some of the code is old, like libdbus library, but that's all. Thank you. Do you have any questions? So the question is, what is the status of KDBus in Upstream? And the status is, it is changing. The current plan seems to be to cut KDBus into small pieces. Like I said, that the MemFD, something that allows really fast IPC between processes, it doesn't require KDBus transport. This part has been posted to Linux kernel recently as completely separate feature. So those changes make KDBus smaller. And we hope that other KDBus feature will also find its way into kernel. So somehow KDBus will be integrated. But right now, we do not know. As with every big feature, and this is new IPC mechanism, those never go easily into the kernel. So we are aware that when these things gets posted, because it wasn't yet for review or integration, might be completely reworked. But currently, the plan seems to be to make small pieces of functionality and post it separately. But there is no schedule. There was to have it by the end of this year, but I don't think it holds anymore. Who? TV. So I'm not sure if this answers your question, but yes, TV is who needs them? That's a good question to ask, and I don't have answer for that, but you can try.
Okay. One of our Samsung developer wants that because they wanted to send some media data to their they wanted to share the media data within their applications. So that's the reason why we are start this KDiverse development. There are some needs in Samsung.
So KDiverse offers more than just raw data. So if you have system with a couple of services, many of them, and you can assume that they have properties like DBus, you can check properties of them and automatically detect properties and decide this. When you build complex system, I assume you might like to have this ability to dynamically change the configuration of the system and to adapt to it. Like, there is this TV in the first floor, and if you look closely to the back of it, there is connector. So you can think that on TV you can have actually two systems running. One in TV and one connected to it. And in this case, you could like to have something like network with services that offer different properties. But this is with appropriate transport. So we are a hardware company, so we can actually make this one system, right? We can actually connect it together. But I cannot really answer Casey's question. Why do we need it? The none of these have really nice properties. This is something completely new. It allows many processors to share the same memory segment, not just across two processes. Like when you want to share memory in Unix, right now you just mmap dev0 and you fork. This is one method. And the other is system5 memory sharing, which is really not the API I would recommend anybody to use. It has its own problems. But with this, you can actually have memory segment, share it to like 10 processes, and when they unmap it, it will disappear. And this is zero copy. So this is quite nice. You cannot do that.
Actually, KDiverse is not working in two different devices. So if you wanted to use KDiverse two different devices, you needed to implement something else.
Yeah,
nowadays, we have some solutions about that. However, we cannot explain about that more detail because it's a proprietary of Samsung. So maybe you can do by if you implement something else by socket or something by socket. But yes, but nowadays KDiverse is just IPC. So
yeah, but just back to Casey's question. So we have to keep in mind that this is like third attempt to have DBus like transporting kernel. So many people have different reasons to have it. And I think the original one was from the IBI guys. And in IBI, they have like hundreds of computers working together. I do not know why they want to use KDBus, but for some reason, people do want use DBus to say stream videos. They do. I don't know why. Maybe because of the additional properties. If we do this by our own, we have to invent protocols to provide those properties. DBus allows us to give this standard amount of sugar that allows to describe something. And I think that this is the reason that many people want to standardize on DBus. They use DBus for applications, and they say, hey, why cannot we use to send big data through it? But I agree that, especially now, if you want to do product, you want to be stable, you have to invent your own protocol. And KDBus, in its vision, should be able to make this need disappear. But it is still a bit far away from now.
So I think the key point is we wanted to use a legacy DBus API, but we want more faster IPC mechanism behind in their system. So if you use this solution, you can reuse legacy DBus API, but you can send messages more faster than legacy DBus because of KDBus.
Please keep in mind that we are using ARM processors, and on ARM, everything is expensive except for the processor itself. So if we have this amount more of performance, it is good for us. So, so this is another configure time switch, enable KDBus. And actually, with the recent changes, the dropping of driver D, most of this has to be reworked because it will not work this way anymore. So we have talked about this with Ryan on FOSDEM in February or January, but systemd guys did change everything again. So it won't land soon into Glib. Probably it will be on some development branch there, but probably not as soon as it looked like it would land in January. But we have to end. So thank you very much for your attention.